Hello! Welcome to another episode of Down Murder Lane.
Hello, everybody!
New season.
Woo!
New us.
New season, new us.
Kinda.
Sorta.
We're still a hot mess, but...
I mean, we're still...
It's what you've come to expect.
Delightful weirdos.
Yes.
You know and love.
And so, this is season three, episode one.
I can't even believe season three.
I know.
Like, this is... We're on... I think this is like our 78th episode.
Is it?
Total.
Oh, good.
That's really good. We're getting close to 100.
I'll have to do something to celebrate once we get to 100.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Party at VC.
Yeah. Or Victor's.
Yes.
Which I just saw for the first time today.
Yes.
So today we were on location in downtown Milwaukee.
Yeah. Easttown.
To kick off season three.
Yeah.
With a 53-year-old cold case. Mm-hmm. And this is the murder of Stephanie Kasberg.
Yeah.
Did I say it right? Kasberg?
This is Milwaukee Police Department's oldest case in their cold case files.
Wow. This is very interesting.
Yes.
Starting this shit off with a bang.
Boom.
So sitting across from me is Heather.
Sitting across from me is the lovely Jessica.
And I don't know anything about this case. We just told me about it today. We went and just went and visited the location of where it happened.
Yeah.
Super cool.
I came across this in an article I was reading this summer. And it was the anniversary of this. And I was like, ooh, I never even knew about this one.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you ready to come and take a trip with us?
I sure am.
Down Murder Lane. All right. So, jumping back in, we have something a little new we're going to do instead of West Dallas or Florida.
Right.
We're going to broaden our horizons.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do Wisconsin or Florida.
Right. While there's no shortage of things that happen in West Dallas, we also would find stories that happened in other places in Wisconsin that were like, damn, that would be really good.
To talk about, yes.
But it happened up north, or in Beloit, or Sheboygan, or, you know, like, so we figured we'd make it state, so Wisconsin or Florida.
Yeah,
so
I think that's more fair to Florida now. More fair. Because
there's
so many crazy-ass people down there.
West Dallas definitely held its own.
Yeah, it did for a while.
Yeah.
It did.
But then it was like, all right, it's time to broaden our horizons.
I love
Wisconsin's
it.
Got a lot of shit.
Well, I don't know. This is Heather,
I'm excited.
I'm not even going to look at it.
Okay, Jessica.
Okay.
Wisconsin or Florida?
Okay.
Police were dispatched to a local shelter on a report of a male in his early 20s engaging in self-harming activities.
Okay.
The report stated that police were asked to check the man out and that the man was not violent, but just acting very strange.
Okay.
All right. Police made contact with the young man just before 2:30 p.m. on Friday, May 6th. According to the report, the man had sewed his mouth shut with needle and thread.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. While the young man admitted he tried to give himself a piercing to gain swag...
I mean, what is this, like Billy Butcherton, like sewing his mouth shut? Or
so, yeah, okay. He's trying to give himself some swag, all right?
Okay.
Officers were unable to find any injuries, okay? The man was advised on his behavior and moved along.
Okay, first, no injuries? You sewed your goddamn mouth shut? Like,
he
what?
He shut his mouth, like, I don't understand, like, wouldn't he have, like...
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking, is it an X? Is it an X or is it an up and down pattern?
I don't know, but I feel like if I tried to sew my mouth shut, there would be some injuries.
Yeah. I mean, lip piercings, they're cool, I'll say.
You think so?
I do.
Still?
I do like the side.
Oh, that
the side
thing?
Ring. That is.
Are you going to get one?
No. There's no piercings this face. This face does not need anything drawn to it. But like this.
It's a beautiful face.
Oh, thank you. But I've seen a couple of music artists who have the lip piercing on the side. I'm like, oh, I like that.
It's cute on certain people.
Yeah. So, but
how do you feel about eyebrow rings?
That
was very early 2000s.
Right, yeah, on the right person. Yeah.
Yeah.
On the right person, it's okay.
It's funny when you see someone that's our age that has a scar there and you're like, I see you.
Yeah.
I did not have one.
No. I had a nose ring.
I had one for a brief period of time.
Yeah. But now those are coming back. Like, I feel like so many women our age.
They're cute.
Yeah. I'm just not going to rock that. You know.
I'm not either.
Yeah, not my style.
No.
But, it's just funny. Yeah, it would be okay. on the right person. But right. I would think if you soaked your mouth shut. No. I mean, I should sew it to keep it quiet and stop drinking.
I should sew it so I stop eating fucking cookies.
Yeah, same. Or all my kids' Halloween candy.
Oh my God, yeah.
So, but yeah, you would think they have some scars. So I have a lot more questions, but if I think this happened in...
Yeah, Wisconsin or Florida.
Damn, it's a weird... That would be something a There's Florida no, person...
There's no, like, clues.
Yeah.
There's no context. Clues.
Nothing.
It's just weird.
I'm going to go with Florida, only because I feel like that's something a Florida person would do.
It's actually Wisconsin.
Where?
Waukesha.
Oh, man. Fucking Waukesha's getting crazy. So much weird shit happens.
Waukesha is wild. That's one of the reasons why I'm really excited that we expanded this, because there's so much shit that happens in the Shaw.
Yeah. April just had a big fight at one of her stores in Waukesha, and she showed me some video. It was pretty funny.
I mean, anybody... No offense, I can say this because I grew up in West Dallas. Anyone who lives in Waukesha that makes fun of West Dallas needs to get a reality check.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of shit like this. Exactly.
Ooh, I'm excited. Okay, Waukesha.
But Waukesha, there's some gorgeous parts of Waukesha.
Yeah.
Very nice, but then there's some real fucked up weird shit, too.
Yeah. I can't wait to learn more Waukesha stories.
Waukesha! All right, so that's
Waukesha, when I first moved here.
Waukesha. One of my roommates in college, who's from the Twin Cities in Minnesota, was trying to say Oconomowoc. Like, we were driving to my parents' house. Like, mm-hmm. She was coming home with me, and she's like, what does that say? Okamawako? So, I still say Okamawako.
I love it. That's like every Wisconsin town.
Okamawako?
Well, that one.
What the hell is that? And I was like, yeah, that is a messed up one. But no, it's Oconomowoc. But that was a good try.
Good try. Well, that was a good. I really like that. Yeah. So stay out of Waukesha.
Yeah, Waukesha. All right.
So trip. Do you have your trip advisor? I'm gonna let you keep going.
So the best thing to do on Van Buren Street, that's the neighborhood in East Town Commons in Milwaukee, is to visit Victor's Nightclub.
Victims. Okay.
Victor's, which is located at 1230 North Van Buren Street in Milwaukee. The nightclub, which has been a Milwaukee staple since the 1960s, has always been popular.
Okay.
According to the general manager, prior to COVID-19, 450 people on average visited on a weekend night. And the club required 11 bartenders on Fridays and Saturdays.
Damn.
Busy. Business has picked up again since COVID-19, and it's a friendly tavern where people from all corners of the city belly up for cheap drinks, a lively sports bar, and last but not least, a pickup spot known for having an abundance of older women.
So, cougars, and then also, that's where a lot of the MPD, then they used to go there, like the undercover, like vice squads and stuff.
Because there's a lot of sex workers that also hang out at victims, and then people that try to have dates with them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the vice
would always
go there.
Yeah, I just heard that story.
It's very, very entertaining.
I need to go.
Let's go soon.
Yes. I know you guys went one night, and I don't know what happened.
April, Kim, and I went, and it was literally...
And Kevin came.
So and funny. I was sitting at the bar... with April, mm-hmm. I was wearing a flannel and jeans, okay, and a ponytail.
Okay.
Some man came up to me, and I think he thought I was a sex worker.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
A cougar.
Hey.
I was kidding.
I know. And April's like, I think he thinks that you're like a sex worker. I'm like, I'm literally wearing a flannel, jeans...
Well, maybe that's, like, Wisconsin, like, that's what...
But there were girls that were very clearly dressed...
In risque outfits
in
or whatever.
In a sex worker type attire, and I looked like a suburban mom.
Yeah. So maybe he's like, oh, that's her selling point.
Maybe he thought that was my angle. I don't know. I mean, that was during the COVID, like, hardcore COVID when I had no income, so April was like, go for it.
Yeah.
Make some money, girl. And I'm like, Jesus. For the record, Mike, I did not.
Yes. I love this. Okay, that is really funny, but
we should go there. It's really funny.
We need to go to Victims.
It's wild.
Victors.
It smells like weed everywhere.
This is hilarious.
There's a lot of, there's a lot of, 40 to 50-year-old black men that hang out there, because they play real good music.
Oh.
Really good music.
So there's no touch tunes that we can take over when we get there?
We don't even need it. It's straight fire. Their DJ is fire.
Damn. Oh, they have a DJ.
Yes.
Oh, that changes things. That changes things. Fire. Okay, we're going to go.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, on to the case. Totally good. All right, so Stephanie Marie Kasberg was born on July 11th, 1951, to Charles and Janice Kasberg. Am I saying that? Yeah, Kasberg?
Yep. Kasberg.
In Colorado Springs, Colorado. Beautiful area.
Yes.
In 1957, the Kasberg family moved to Wisconsin and put down roots in Milwaukee's River West neighborhood. And where's River West?
It's when we went to the tracks. The bar for the Wednesday Bonbonic, that's where it is.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay, I know where that's at now. All right, so Stephanie graduated from Milwaukee's Riverside High School in June 1969. Mm-hmm. While in high school, she was a member of the a cappella singers. I love that. Yes. Makes me think of the movie.
Yeah.
Forget what it's called. And the Pitch Madrigal. Perfect? Yes, Pitch Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that movie.
I got you.
And she was part of the choir. She lived with her parents and her brothers. So, Stephanie was a beautiful girl with long red hair and freckles. She was popular, well-liked, happy, playful, and very outgoing. Mm-hmm. She loved attending school dances and lived for fun and excitement. I love this.
She's a sweet girl.
She was a typical teen girl living a great life. The teenager held a waitressing job at Mark's Big Boy Restaurant on Van Buren Street, Milwaukee. How cool. Mm-hmm. So, on Sunday, July 6th, 1969, a witness saw Kasberg getting into a yellow convertible on her way to work.
So, yeah, someone picked her up to go to work.
Okay, was giving her a ride to work. Okay. It was the last day of work before a one-week vacation, and that would be the last time anyone would see her alive.
So, she had just graduated from high school.
Okay, and she was working over the summer at Big Boy.
Yeah, she's working as a waitress at this restaurant. Mark's Big Boy was...
Makes me want a cheeseburger really bad.
Yes, that's what their cheeseburger restaurant. It was... That's what it was. All right.
Love it.
So 3 days later, on July 8th, 1969, a young 8-year-old boy fishing with his father and brother near a closed and condemned bridge on the Root River in Franksville on the Milwaukee County Racine County line, so like Franklinish, mm-hmm. discovered something wrapped in a Milwaukee newspaper dated June 24th, 1969. It was Stephanie Kasberg's right leg.
So he picked it up, looked at it, and it was her leg. Yep. Oh, my God.
The boy's father called the Racine County Sheriff's Office immediately. A subsequent search of the area resulted in finding Kasberg's arms, head, and right leg. Searchers also found Kasberg's purse. It contained cards, earrings, and pictures. Hmm. A small ripped photograph of the teenage girl was found on a street nearby in Franklin.
That's odd.
It was like one of those like photo booths. Like yeah. you like go in a photo booth and take a strip pictures. And it was like found nearby in a street ripped.
Hmm. Okay.
According to an early report dated July 23rd, 1969, so later that month, the police also found bones from a leg and the abdomen discarded in a cardboard box not far from the Root River location where they located the other parts.
Odd.
Yeah.
All right. So, pathologist Dr. Myron Schuster. Ooh, Schuster.
Schuster.
And that said that Stephanie had been dead a day or two, and the limbs had been cut cleanly from the body with a sharp instrument. Are we talking like Black Dahlia shit here?
Yeah.
Okay. There were no bruises or broken bones. Then Racine County Sheriff Joseph Blessinger.
Yes.
Stated the dismemberment looked like a butcher had done it and called it the most gruesome thing he had ever seen in his 30 years in office.
Yeah.
The area where searchers found the first set of body parts was isolated and hard to get to, but not heavily wooded. Sheriff Blessinger, who said whoever killed Stephanie was familiar with the area. I had to be familiar with her, too. She got in a car.
Yeah.
You know, and she had no bruises or fighting, you know. Didn't fight against this person. I don't know. To this day, it is unclear how and where she was killed.
So my script is totally out of order. So okay. Can I borrow yours for a second while we move on?
Yep.
Thank you so much. Okay. Stephanie's father, Charles Kasberg, heard in a radio broadcast that remains had been found and notified the authorities. So he heard it on the radio.
Because she was probably missing for a couple days and then...
Mm-hmm. He then positively identified the remains as his daughter, which is horrible. For some reason, he had never reported his daughter missing when she did not return home from work on July 6th.
Okay.
Which, I mean, It's a different time.
Mm-hmm.
The final days of her life are a mystery, and investigators have no idea of her last moments. So detectives questioned several people, including Stephanie's friends and family members. They initially arrested an 18-year-old man at a bus stop after receiving an anonymous tip. However, the authorities released him after extensive questioning.
Okay. All right, so police continued to look for a suspect. On Tuesday, July 15th, 1969, just 9 days after Stephanie went missing, 34-year-old Grant Hughes committed suicide near Root River, where Stephanie's remains were found just 6 days earlier. His body was found in his car parked in bushes on a dirt road. The vehicle had a hose running from the exhaust pipe and through a window to the passenger side, and the engine was still running when he was found. Damn, gas lasted a lot longer back then. Authorities initially thought that Hughes might have killed Stephanie, but after digging for information, they found no connection between the two people or the suicide and homicide. I mean, I can understand why they would try to piece that together. Yeah. They're looking for anything.
Absolutely. And it just seemed like a coincidence. Yeah. Like, oh, this might be something.
A 21-year-old co-worker of Casberg's told police that a man attacked her about a month before Casberg disappeared. The Daily Tribune reported the young woman was walking home from work around 12:30 a.m. when a man grabbed her from behind and held a sharp object to her neck.
Terrifying.
Yeah. She screamed and shoved him. He punched her in the stomach, knocking her down, then warned her to stop resisting or I'll cut your head off. That's weird. So she never reported it. She just, like, told this story to a coworker.
Again, different time.
PSA, report anything that you think is crazy or weird.
Yeah, like, always.
Yeah.
Somebody grabs you and puts something sharp in your neck, fucking call the cops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I have to give you
this. Yeah, because I am out of order.
Here we are.
Okay. All right, so a few days later, police arrested a 17-year-old Milwaukee restaurant worker connected with a series of assaults near the Clark Building, 633 West Wisconsin Avenue. So that's over, like, by the Pfister.
Okay.
By, like, where Maggie works.
Okay.
And just 1 mile from the Mark's Big Boy, where Stephanie and the unnamed co-worker worked. To this day, it is unclear if this is the same person who assaulted Stephanie's co-worker. So he was arrested with a string of attacks in that area.
Yeah.
But they don't know for sure if it was.
Yeah.
Two victims of the Clark Building attacks positively identified the boy, a 17-year-old Waukesha County girl and a 35-year-old Milwaukee woman. The teenager said the boy beat and molested her on February 26, 1969. He also stabbed her in the head with a screwdriver during the attack.
Jesus.
The 25-year-old woman reported that the teenage boy raped her in her car's front seat in the Clark Building's parking lot on July 23rd, 1969. So that would have been just a couple weeks after Stephanie disappeared.
Yeah.
She also suffered knife wounds in her right shoulder during the assault. While investigators called the youth a good suspect in the Casberg murder, they never were able to get evidence to charge him with the crime.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah.
Okay, so a few years ago, retired Milwaukee Police Department Lieutenant Steve Spingola.
Yeah, we've heard his name a lot.
Yes, began investigating Stephanie's murder. According to Spingola, there was never a serious suspect, and evidence in the case is limited. Fingerprint technology, DNA, it's all been checked, and there's been no links to the forensic sciences to this day. This is back in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So like, but they probably didn't. They have different ways of, like, preserving evidence now.
Right.
So back then, who knows?
Who knows what they did?
Could have put it in a fucking Ziploc and not, you know, and
yeah,
could have lost.
Somebody put it in their pocket.
Yeah, true.
Smoked a cigarette and ashed
it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
WDJT, Milwaukee News reported that Stephanie Casper's murder case is the oldest cold case in MPD's database, which has dozens, possibly hundreds of them.
I know.
Isn't that sad?
I know.
Stephanie's parents, Charles and Janice Casberg, passed away in 1987 and in 2011, respectively, without ever knowing who took their daughter from them.
Super sad. I got it now.
Okay.
All right. So Spingola continues to work the cold case. He said that investigators' main and possibly only hope to solve Stephanie's murder is if someone comes forward to confess or to share a key piece of information. Still, he believes a conviction is unlikely. But he did say that, quote, unquote, the lion hunts in his own backyard, meaning that he believes that if Stephanie's killer is alive, he's still in the Milwaukee area.
That's terrifying.
Right.
I do like it now that we're seeing a lot of these cold cases get solved with DNA and in all different ways of looking at things. Yeah,
you never know.
It's like, hopefully something comes up.
I know. This. And her siblings, like her brothers, are still trying to keep the case
active. Yeah.
Talked about. Wow. I mean, she had 5 or 6 brothers, I think they said.
Okay.
So they're still all trying
to
figure out what happened.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Well, we only went to one of these spots. I'm going to try to go to the other one tomorrow.
Okay.
Sounds on my good. Way home from taking my kid to school.
Okay.
So, post-content discussion, where'd we go?
So, today we went to 1111 North Van Buren, Milwaukee, is the former site of Mark's Big Boy. It is now a...
Pick and Save Metro Mart.
Metro Market, yes. Yep,
the one basically right across from Victor's.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then I'm going to try to... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I've never been down there. I've never really been in that neighborhood.
Pretty neighborhood.
It's very nice, you know. And if it's like I'm not sure...
favorite downtown neighborhood.
How long, far she had to walk from work. Because it says sometimes she was walking home instead of getting a ride. So I'm not sure
how far. I don't think she could walk from there to River West. That's pretty far. I think she took the bus home.
Okay.
I don't know.
So I'm just trying to... I was just thinking like the one that when she was attacked at 12:30 a.m. that one day.
That
she,
was
she
her was friend, walking. Though.
Yeah. Oh, it was not her. It was her friend.
Right.
Oh, I totally missed that part.
Yeah, it was her friend.
So, yeah, how else was she getting home? And if she... Yeah. I wonder if they've ever... I'm sure they've looked into this yellow, you know, but I'm sure...
Who owned the yellow...
Convertible.
I tried to look into that, too. Like, who was this? I don't know who it was. It might have just been somebody she worked with.
Yeah. Totally not part of this at all or anything. So, yikes, but...
Yeah, so then I'm going to get to the spot where they found the body parts, which is on South 92nd Street between 6th and 7 Mile Road in Franksville, which is just south of the county line, just south of Franklin.
Yeah, so if the person had to be familiar, so... Because that's not close.
To downtown, no.
No, not to where, like...
It's about 25 minutes away. So maybe 30 minutes away.
Took her somewhere else or something.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Gosh, it's really crazy. That whole area over there is just like a dumping ground back then.
Uh-huh.
Wow, but
yeah, because that's not far from like where Megan.
Yeah, her friend. Yeah, not her friend, but the body
where they
she found. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Which is so crazy. They finally arrested the lady for that.
Good.
Yeah. All right,
Linda.
So we are going to do. Well, that's the case.
Yeah, that's the case.
Yeah.
So if you have any information, you know.
Yeah.
Call the cold case department.
Yeah, that's really crazy. Hopefully, they get some.
Because I hope being so. I hope with, like, the ancestry and the 23andMe and that something might come up.
But what's crazy is I pay attention to a lot of this stuff. I'm always looking at cases, and I get a daily email of all the crap going on.
Me too.
But I've never heard of this. So they need to start maybe promoting this. But still, if it's the oldest one, and the other ones are old, too.
I know.
They're finding all, I'm just saying.
It's really sad. So, yeah, Stephanie Kasberg.
Very sad.
Sweet young girl, had a great life and a great future ahead of her. Just gone.
Gone like that.
Yep.
So, all right. So, to kind of lighten things up a little here.
Yeah.
We used to do a Snoop Dogg quote. So, we did that for quite some time.
Yeah, and then we started to have to reuse the quotes because...
And some of the quotes we saw, like, oh, there's a good quote, but it's just not applicable to the case.
Right. We always try to tie it back in.
Yeah. So now we are going to expand. We're doing a lot of expanding.
Yeah, expanding.
Yes.
Expanding our horizons.
Yes, to all rappers. So any rap quote that could be about this, or that we could use to kind of tie it back to this case.
It could be a lyric from a song. It could be a quote from a rapper.
Yeah.
But it's got to be rap related.
Something rap, yes. Which... I love it. It's going to be a little harder for me, not just to look at Snoop.
I know. But you can still use Snoop if you want.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to this. I mean, because,
you can broaden your horizons, too.
Kanye has a bunch of crazy shit he said, so I think I'm going to go that
route.
Yeah,
we're just going to not... Kanye is just... Yeah.
But I think I might use some of the crap he says, because it might be a little cray. Okay.
Go for it. All right. So, I chose... A quote from my favorite old school rapper. I love Snoop, but he is not my
favorite. Okay.
He's not. My favorite rapper is Notorious B.I.G.
Love it.
Love him. Okay. All right. And then follow closely behind Tupac Shakur. I love him too. All right. I would never wish death on nobody. Because there ain't no coming back from that. Notorious B.I.G.
He was wise, too. Mm-hmm. And then look what happened to him.
Yep.
Can I just do a sidebar really quick?
Yeah.
So, we all know about Aaron Carter.
Yeah.
Very sad. He had some demons.
Yeah, he had a lot of problems. It's very sad.
I was getting that little little email update I get. It's from People True Crime.
Yeah.
It comes every day. And it was, I opened it up yesterday and I snickered because it said rapper Aaron Carter.
I've been seeing him called a rapper, so you can quote him if you want.
He was not a rapper.
He was rapping about Shaq.
A beat Shaq.
A beat Shaq.
I want candy. Oh, and yeah. Aaron's party. I mean, he had some, but he was not, I did not look at him as a rapper.
He's not a rapper.
Okay.
Lil Bow Wow is a rapper. Maybe we can find some Lil Bow Wow quotes. Yes.
Oh, this is going to be great.
I know.
I love it. So.
All right.
All right. So that was a little sidebar that we are just known for those. But okay.
We're just weird.
So people. Follow us on Instagram, Odometer Lane.
Yes.
Facebook,
Odometer Lane, a true crime podcast.
Yep. Email us, odometerlanepodcast@gmail.com.
And please rate and review on Apple Podcasts, etc. Spotify also allows you to review now or just do a 5-star rating.
I need to. Yeah, I don't have Spotify. Just on the old school Apple. But okay. All right. Until next time.
Take that trip.
But pack wisely.
Because you never know who you'll run into.
Hopefully not somebody driving a yellow convertible.
Down
Murder Lane.
Bye.